today on Seeing the Podcast.
It somehow arose from me. Like, I started to just feel and deeply know that everything is connected and that I am part of something much bigger. Like, this is us, like, learning in public and, like, trying to...
Literally learning in public.
Yeah.
We're at Vancouver Public Library. Yes. There are glass doors. Yes. We're literally learning in public.
Pulling back the curtain of silence.
And learning what freedom feels like. I'm Nick.
And I'm Lala.
This is Seen.
Brown-eyed activism.
Healing at the intersections.
When I was preparing this episode, I did what I always do when I don't already have a BIPOC of the week in mind. I started Googling terms related to the topic. I tried things like healing intuition, BIPOC, connecting to intuition, BIPOC, just intuition, BIPOC. And when none of these terms were turning up any books or articles or things I could use, I dropped BIPOC from the search terms and tried to sort through everything that came up. And everything that came up was white woman after white woman after white woman after white woman. Even when something looked promising because it was recognizably culture-based, like something involving sage and cedar or something about balancing chakras, it was still white women. And definitely not white-presenting women who are actually from those cultures. It was very obviously white women with no connection to the cultures they were stealing from. It felt ironic because this is a symptom of the exact reason why we need to have conversations about healing our intuition as BIPOC. For so many of us, white colonizers came to our lands and violently destroyed our connections with the sacred and with intuitive ways of knowing and living by outlawing our cultural practices and stealing us from our communities and so many other things. And then eventually, some of them decided that actually it would suit them better to go back and take those practices that their people had outlawed and make money off of them. And now, when we as BIPOC try to recover the intuitive practices and spirituality that were stolen from us, we have to wade through this saturation of white people and especially white women who are wielding these things in ways that perpetuate white supremacy. So I want to talk to you today about how we understand intuition, our relationships with it, and how we can work towards healing that relationship. And hopefully maybe it can be one small step toward changing the balance of who is talking about this stuff. And we do have a BIPOC of the week that we'll get to a little bit later.
Woohoo! That is... Yeah, I'm so excited about this conversation. I feel like you can't have a conversation about intuition without talking about decolonizing intuition and like leaning on your intuitive practices, especially as racialized folks. And yeah, I am grateful that we're chatting about this because I can think of so many times in my life where I didn't follow my intuition. In fact, I was like, what's that? That's yo, mm-hmm. I don't want that. So, and it's just, I feel like in the past, like 5 years of my life, less than that, I've been like, what is my gut? Like, it's because intuition to me is like connected to my gut, like my gut feeling. Like, what is my first, what is my natural like body telling me? You know what I mean? So anyways, I'm grateful for this conversation.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So that was the first thing I wanted to ask is what your understanding of intuition is. So I understand it as the way you can know something without like consciously knowing why you know it. Gut feelings, definitely. Often for me, it's like something where then if I'm tuning into my body, the knowing seems to be centered in like my gut or my heart, not really in my head. And I understand it as something that's like, that's picked up somehow from your senses or your body, and like the environment around you.
Yeah, I would say all of those things, the body piece especially. I've had moments where when I'm tuned into my body, because it's that, I feel like for me, I notice when my intuition is like active or activated or is trying to like signal something to me. It's like this sense of, I don't know, maybe like a deep knowing, kind of what you said, without knowing why you know something. And in that way, it kind of just feels like hard to define or contain, or like, you know, which would make sense. I mean, it makes sense why there's no BIPOC, you know, / BIPOC plus intuition on Google searches, because I think for so long, our ability to be, as racialized folks, as Black, Indigenous people of color, like our deep sense of being able to act on what we know to be true continues to be suppressed, right? Like in every, and like when you just think about like white supremacy and colonization as systems and practices that are really meant to remove a sense of deep knowing as a Black, Indigenous person of color.
And completely devaluing it. It's like, it doesn't matter. You can know, but
what you what's do the about point it?
Of yeah. knowing? Yeah. If you have no ability to, like you said, act on it, and all the ways that you, all the things that you know, you end up being taught are wrong, which is like, as the generations go on, because I feel like in that first generation where it's disrupted, there would still be such a deep, obvious knowing that this is completely wrong, and that it's, you know, you've been, this is a violation from somebody else. And I think as the generations go on, there still is a knowing of that, but at the same time, you're being raised in a dominant culture that has cut you off from all of the things that help to strengthen that deep knowing. And you're being taught the opposite.
Yeah.
And so there's more, I think, of like a, I mean, I don't know what it's like to be the first generation, but I just feel like maybe there's more of like a war within yourself between, you know, what you know at some level and what you've been taught your whole life.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree with that completely. Mm-hmm. That inner war, that inner sort of like conflict, the granular levels of like your being feels like it's at odds with other parts of your being. I think it's that deep, because that's where intuition rests. It's like corporeal, but also like beyond that, just like body. It's also like energetic. And I'm saying this because I'm just describing things that I have felt. Like, this isn't me. This isn't me having read anything. I'm just like, for me, what intuition has felt like is both in my body and outside my body. Like you would say, mm-hmm. something about like your surrounding environment and also within inside yourself.
And it makes me think that this is a big part of why there's so many GI problems in white dominated societies. And I don't know if it's disproportionate among BIPOC and other oppressed groups. I imagine it probably is, because most things are. But to me, I think that, and this is part of how Western culture is disconnected from the intuition, is that I don't know if science has caught up with this yet. Like, I don't know if, because there's so much that science tells us our body and our mind and our emotions and our spirit, they don't really acknowledge spirit, but that those things are separate. And then even now, when there's like a shift in Western science towards like supposed holistic and mind-body connection, I think there's still a denial of the emotional and spiritual meanings behind things that go wrong in our body, sickness and disease. But to me, because that knowing, that intuition is centered in the gut, and we have, you know, then all of these gut problems, to me, those are obviously connected.
I mean, I would say absolutely yes. I remember when I was a kid, and I was talking to Nolan about this recently. I was like, I remember when I was a kid and I always had stomach aches, all the time. Mm-hmm. I thought that something was deeply, I just thought, like, why do I have stomach aches and nobody else does? Now I have stomach aches and I know why, because I'm like consume dairy and I'm lactose intolerant. That's a different story. But when I was a kid, I would always have a really hard time in the morning having breakfast before school. And I would just like, I had a really, my gag reflex was like off the fucking charts. Like I couldn't hold things down. My mom was kind of like, okay, like what can we make you to like, is enough carbs and enough like energy before you go to school, you need to eat something. And she was just like, it was hard for her. But I remember when I was like, when I would get to school, this happened like every fucking day. I would get to school and I would see my friends and my stomach ache would go away. It would just dissipate. It would just dissipate. Like it was not even, and I realized looking back, I'm like, I was so deeply anxious. I was such a deeply anxious child. And so anyways, like that's, I know that's not necessarily connected to like the intuition, but I had this feeling of, I think looking back in childhood of like, what if I go to school and I don't have friends? Like, what if all these things? And once I had the information that was false, that wasn't true, my body responded and was like, hey, you're fine. Like, you're safe. You are loved. You have friends. And so I think like, had my mom even really realized that, it probably would have saved us a lot. But I think tying this back to intuition, it's like, you don't see, you 100% don't really see the value in intuition or in some of the things that we're experiencing in the world, what they're what message they're actually saying to us through our bodies. And I think so much of intuition is that, is like your body is sending you a message about what's going on and how, what you need or what you don't need. And it might be something where it's like, it's manifested in your gut. And for some folks, it's not at all. It's like, you know, you just kind of like, no. There's no body feeling or body sensation. It's just like, no, I know that this is right for me. I know that this is wrong for me. I know this doesn't feel right.
Yeah. And I wonder, I had the same thing. Like I always struggled to eat breakfast before school, especially. I would like really struggle and like have the same, the gag reflex and all that kind of stuff. And I guess I wonder if it's possible that part of that for you was that, you know, being in these Christian schools, it was a very harmful environment for you. But the friends that you had there were a bit of like a solve for it, that they made you feel better. But maybe the intuition was around like the environment as a whole.
You know, what's funny is I don't remember having the same. So I experienced that when I was like 5, 6, 7 before I went to Christian school. And oh, I was just like, it wasn't even Christian school yet. I was still in public school. And so I was like, I think looking back at it, I was very self-conscious. Like I have shed that deep sense of my identity of being self-conscious, like within 10 years since I was maybe in my like, maybe 22. But for most of my life, I was always so keenly aware of other people perceiving me. And I don't know why it made me so uncomfortable. I just didn't feel comfortable in who I was. Oddly enough, when I got to Christian school, especially in middle school, it was different in high school, but I wasn't even connected to that, my gut, in any way, shape, or form, like at the end of high school. But like middle school, I was deeply connected to my gut, but I didn't know that it was intuition at all. I think it was the dogma and all the things, the indoctrination of like Christianity itself just made me feel unwell. Like it didn't sit with me. Like what I was learning was not resonating with me in a way that was like creating positive change. It was toxic in my body. For me, like looking back at so many of the things that were happening, well, spiritually in my soul when I was younger, especially wading through Christian school environment stuff, in the like height of my teen angst and like anxieties around sexuality and going to hell and all of that kind of stuff, I just thought that it was me feeling shitty was me really realizing how I was definitely going to go to hell. Like, I thought it was more of a sign about like how Jesus is real. Like, you know, the things that I was being taught were real and less of a sign of like, maybe this whole thing is not good for you.
Yeah. Which this was something I had flagged about wanting to talk about, the difference between intuition and anxiety. You have maybe that uncomfortable feeling in your gut. There's a lot going on, or you have like, flashes of something that could happen, or you just have a deep feeling that something bad is going to happen and you don't necessarily consciously know why.
Yeah.
And it's so hard to tease out sometimes, is that anxiety or is that intuition?
Yeah. Do you have any thoughts on like what the differences are?
I think it's really, really hard. I think that part of figuring it out is doing a lot of work to be in touch with your body sensations and to know what intuition feels like in your body, as well as what anxiety feels like, because maybe it's in the same kind of centers of your body, but it might feel different. Like often intuition, I think your body feels maybe more grounded and like open, and anxiety, like there, maybe it is more in your head at the same time, or maybe it's like a kind of constricted feeling. I don't know. I don't think this is universal, but
I mean, that resonates
part of it.
That resonates with me a lot. I totally, yeah. I was going to say, noticing the difference. I'm like, I can, if I think about it, when I have understood that what's going on is anxiety in me, and I'm like, that's anxiety. Like I just kind of have started to coach myself to just like release the tension. Like I'll tell myself to like release. And usually that means that my stomach feels to like unknot itself. And I'm like, okay, like that dealt with like an issue. Whereas I don't think that intuition is about dealing with an issue. It's like about a presence. Like it's about some, it's like there's something beyond. Yeah. Like for me anyways, this is just me speaking personally. Anxiety has always been around a specific issue. Whereas my intuition has been about like what is true and real. Like it's been something bigger and different, and I don't know how to describe that, but certainly like the more relaxed, more connected, more grounded feels like, for me, what my intuition is, and the tightening, restrictive, you know, that like all of those kinds of descriptions and sensations is definitely what anxiety's felt like. It's always manifested in my stomach and my chest for both. Mm-hmm. Like for both the intuition and anxiety, but it does feel really different because intuition is like in my chest, it's open. Like it's like my I don't know why it feels like, it's hard for me to talk about these things without being like, I sound like a pseudoscientist is talking about like, it's open and I'm receiving energy, but like, I really do feel that way, you know, like I have so much, and I'm realizing even in talking about intuition right now, I'm like, I don't have good language or any language really to talk about that feeling without having to rely on like Christian teachings and like, you know, the framings that religion has taught me, which makes me feel less likely to talk about intuition in the first place. You know, it's like,
totally. Well, this is a good time to introduce our BIPOC of the week. So it's Yaye Louisa Tiche, who is a teacher, dancer, storyteller, and high priestess in the Yoruba tradition.
Cool.
She was born in New Orleans, and she's the author of a book called Jambalaya, the Natural Woman's Book of Personal Charms and Practical Rituals. She's incredibly influential and magical. And I watched a video where she was saying that basically that Western culture is suffering from a kind of collective post-traumatic stress from the Inquisition and other religious atrocities and oppressions, where our connections to the earth and the erotic and spirit and like the village, you know, the collective, were all declared blasphemous, and people were persecuted and killed for having even hints of that connection. And so to escape from the tyranny of the church, these cultures then had to completely detach from any kind of spirit, and they moved into what she called a fundamental scientism, which is this culture where the entire intuitive faculty of ourselves as humans was shut down and ignored and denied.
Wow. I mean, even, yeah, that last bit about everything that makes us like humans is shut down and denied. Usually it's under this guise of like, well, can you prove that it's real? Like that,
exactly.
That idea of like fact over feeling, that takes on new meaning when you're talking about intuition, because it's like, I don't think intuition is just about feeling. In the same way that we had that conversation or that episode about feelings and how that's a source of information, like it's not just like a thing that's just happening without any reason, like it can be a source of information that's really powerful.
Yeah, and I just think it's, again, part of this same cycle of oppression where white people came and all of our connections to the sacred were declared blasphemous. And then, you know, Western culture, then, you know, there's this shift from the power of the church to the power of science. And white people, again, are telling us maybe that our beliefs and what's sacred to us, maybe it's not blasphemous, but they just say that it's wrong, it's superstitious and meaningless and doesn't matter.
Primitive.
And then, yeah, you know, and then eventually they get to this place where, you know, in some cases, their science advances enough that they actually can observe the truth of what we've always known. And then they tell us, that
validity there.
Oh, actually, there's validity. Exactly. And then they become the supposed experts and they make money, you know, speaking about it and teaching about it and all of this.
I think that's obviously for me why so much of, like, I used to do hot yoga a lot when I was in 2016, 2015, I was living in Victoria, because Victoria is hippieville. It's very, yeah. And I would go to hot yoga and I remember just feeling kind of like, I go to hot yoga because I like to sweat. It feels nice to stretch my body really deeply. But I remember feeling like there's something that feels really weird and wrong about the way that within those kinds of spaces, I think white folks engage with things that, you know, they engage with things in a way that doesn't feel like they have any connection to it beyond memorization or beyond like knowing how to perform it. And I'm not trying to say that some folks, like white folks who go to yoga, don't find that as a spiritual thing for themselves. Like, who am I to say what people find as deeply resonating? But I'm just really, it's interesting to think about practicing something that was never yours. And prior to you practicing it, your entire culture was demonizing it, right? Like your entire culture was looking at it like, wow, look at all this hilarious stuff that people are doing.
Barbaric
things, you know? And yeah, I wonder, I mean, I haven't had the opportunity to talk to South Asian folks whose people have been practicing like yoga, like since their time immemorial, like it's their practice. But I've certainly like watched videos and seen little things here and there about just like the immense like disrespectfulness of that all. Like it's just very, you know what I mean? In the same way that, I mean, I don't have any correlations between like my culture or like African cultures, right? Like at the top of my mind, but definitely seeing similar things when it comes to like a ton of white folks like smudging or like taking things from people's cultures that are like deeply of a specific importance and a personal connection, and then inserting yourself in. I just like, it's so colonial.
It is. And there's, I mean, a few things that come up for me, and one is the way it cherry picks. So it's like there's a lot of white women, especially not just white women, but they're just really like dominant in these spaces, who can cherry pick and practice yoga, and maybe they experience it as spiritual, but they don't have a deeper understanding of what that spiritual practice actually means, you know, and the role that it has in culture. And, you know, it's often filtered still through like an individualist, you know, I feel better and I'm more, you know, peaceful or less anxious, or in a lot of cases, it's just, you know, look better physically. And it is incredibly disrespectful to the tradition. It's, you know, taking it and making it something that it was never meant to be, and continuing to live your life in a way that is in no way congruent to that practice.
Mm.
And to me, I feel a lot different with BIPOC. Like, I mean, BIPOC are also capable of disrespecting each other's cultures, absolutely. But as a group, I feel like there is a little bit more of that understanding of it being somebody else's cultural practice and being respectful towards it and not just like twisting it into your own purpose.
Yeah. And I think that rests within a kind of more of what I had mentioned before, like that awareness, that cultural awareness of like knowing, yeah, just knowing what your lane is. And I think that's part of the issue when it comes to like all the topics that we talk about with scene, but specifically when it comes to like the appropriative nature, the disrespectful nature in which folks are like disconnecting from things that are rooted to like intuition and tradition and culture, specifically white folks doing that. It's like, do you know what your lane is? Like, do you know what your, like, do you know what your lane is? Do you know what your people are? Do you know any, like all of those pieces, like all those kinds of like building blocks almost, right? Like the more you understand like who you are and who you are in relation to like land and place and like people. I think, you know, I saw this tweet the other day about like one day, wouldn't it be amazing if white folks like reconnected with their own cultures? Like Irish people connect with their Irish culture. Like they have understandings of like their own, you know, folklore and stories. Same with Italian people. Like, where are your people? Like, go and find those things. Like, connect to your things. Like, it's okay to be connected to your things. I think for so many of us, especially, like, I remember my mom, we used to talk about this a bit when I was a kid, and she'll still talk about this now, but like, when she moved from Kenya, this feeling of like, really wanting to hold on to the stuff that she was, you know, raised on and like who she was when she was in another place. And I think that same sense of connection to another land doesn't really exist with a lot of white folks, especially white folks who've been here for quote unquote like many generations. And instead it's like trying to reassert yourself as like the dominant here and now, as opposed to being like, who was I before I was here? Like, where is all my connections? Like, all those connections aren't actually honored in the same way. I don't see that as, and if they are, it's through this like white supremacist lens, right? Of like the Aryan, like we're trying to make sure that we connect to our like Aryan roots because they're superior. It's like, okay.
Yeah, I think that that is the problem, is that the cultures or the ethnicities that are now known as white, there was this sort of ideological thing that happened where they gave up those specific ethnicities to be the default human, right? You know, to be
normal,
just white. Yeah. And not be culturally specific.
Yes.
And so there's some people, white people now, who stay within that, you know, and want that default human power.
Right.
And then there are others, I think, who really don't, but because of how destructive and violent sort of white pride has been in the context of white supremacy, they don't want to take pride in anything to do with race and ethnicity
at all,
you know? Yeah. And in my practice, the only people who have expressed not wanting to connect to their ancestors are white people. And I think, again, that's symptomatic of that disconnection. Like that exact trauma, you know, and violence that like you're not connected anymore to your land. You're not connected anymore to the sacred. You're not connected anymore to your ancestors who could support you. Because, you know, if you go far, you can go far enough back to find the ancestors that didn't know what white was. That wasn't a thing to them.
Right. I wonder sometimes if folks, especially white folks, are so adamant about not wanting to connect to like their own cultures because, or their people or their heritage in that way, because they're scared of what they're going to find out.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's a too, deep definitely. Sense of like shame, you know what I
Absolutely.
Mean?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. But let's stop talking about white people.
Yeah. I was going to say, I'm like, I'm curious to talk about, I want to talk about intuition and like how it's been something that's blessed you and like gifted you and like been a value add. Like I want to talk about all the good shit.
Yeah, well, I'm interested first to ask, and you know, when you say blessed, like I'm curious if you think intuition is inherently tied to spirituality.
No, I don't think so. But okay. I said that really quick. And now I'm walking it back. Well, I mean, that depends on what you see as spiritual. Because for me, as I'm like post-Christian, like trying to reclaim my own sense of like meaning-making in the world, spirituality for me is like me being outside and like looking at trees. Like that feels spiritual to me. I'm like, wow, this tree is like alive. Like I'm just like, sometimes I just sit there and I'm like, all these living things around me, it's fucking wild. Like, do you ever think about that? The interconnectedness that we have with like other living things, that feels spiritual for me. And I, in those moments, I'm like, I know that like, I maybe just be like a human and I might think that I'm super self-important, but like, I know that like when I'm gone, this tree's still going to be here. That's a deeply intuitive, like I know that and it's spiritual. So I would say, yes, it could be. I said no very quickly because old Nicole's version of spirituality was like a very, that's just been like living rent free in my life, in my head for forever. Mm-hmm. Of like tying spirituality to like organized religion. And I hesitate to find, honestly, maybe this is an unpopular opinion, but like, I don't believe that it's really possible to like be dedicated to honoring your intuition if you are so rooted to like dogmatic practices and organized religion. I think the purpose of organized religion, and I'm specifically speaking about Christianity, is to disconnect you from, like, as it's being taught, as Christianity is being taught in churches, mm-hmm. okay, like, I'm not trying to say, like, Brown Jesus version of, like, how Brown Jesus was, like, actually super fucking radical and would have probably been, like, a socialist or a communist and was, like, hanging out with, like, sex workers. And, like, that was Jesus in the Bible. Like, literally, those are the stories mm-hmm. that exist about him as a person. He could have also been queer because all his friends were dudes. He called them his beloveds. I'm just saying. This is all possible. I'm not talking about that Jesus. I'm talking about whitewashed Jesus. That in the whitewashed Jesus, blue-eyed, like long blonde hair Jesus, that religion of Christianity, which is what I practiced for a very long time, it's not interested in you finding out more about yourself and like your connectedness to other things beyond your relationship to God. Okay, like that's mm-hmm. what I was taught. Mm-hmm. And of course there are also like very important and meaningful things to draw from a lot of the stories that are in something like the Bible, but mm-hmm. it's ultimately, it has been for me a force of like and a mechanism of control, and absolutely. Anything that like purports itself to like set you free through controlling you, I'm like, that shit is indoctrination. That was a good song. You're welcome.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it really shows like the way that it's so hard to have this conversation without it, you know, veering back to white supremacy and colonialism and like white control of things, whether it's from like whitewashed organized religions or the fundamental scientism. It just really shows how much that is such a disruptive force and like this thing that is in between us and like being fully connected to our intuition.
Yeah. Which means you have to fight so much harder to like get there. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And so, I mean, it's been such a journey for me because I you know, grew up in not in the Christian environment, but in an extremely white dominated environment and, you know, being raised by white people. And on the other side too, my dad is extremely emphatically atheist, but he also, you know, India was colonized, right? And he was educated in British run schools, mm-hmm. even though he was born technically just after independence, right. But you know, the legacy lives on.
Yes.
So it's been like such a journey for me of healing, but it's interesting because, you know, it was never like reading a book or like going and being taught by somebody. That wasn't really what led me to spirituality. The thing that really allowed me to start believing was I was doing like body-based work in therapy, and it somehow arose from me. Like I started to just feel and deeply know that everything is connected and that I am part of something much bigger. And the sort of the principle of as above, so below, that like every system in my body, you know, there's like these interconnected systems from like the most tiny, you know, invisible to the naked eye level to, you know, the vast level in the universe. And to me, it's like the more I'm connected to my intuition, the more I feel that greater connection. So to me, it is inherently tied, even though I know there's a scientific explanation of what intuition is that completely leaves out spirituality.
Yeah, all the gears in my brain feel like they're all just like, because you talking about the micro level connectivities and then like all the macro things, it just, I'm like seeing in my mind like this vision of like infinite connections to each other. And I feel like, yeah, the more I connect with my intuition, the more I feel like I have a duty to other people. That's how, what it means for me. Mm-hmm. And I feel like when I'm hearing you say this, I'm hearing you say the same thing is like, I'm like thinking really slowly out loud. I also believe that the more we are existing in a world that tells us that like caring about the collective is like a waste of our time, or it's not really like the thing that gets you what you need, i.e. like power, money, et cetera, the more that our intuitions will be so activated. Like, I think that for a lot of us who follow our intuitions and are connected to like this collective in like the macro sense, the more so many of us are feeling like, yo, this shit is off kilter. Like the things that are happening in the world, the grave disparities of like wealth and wealth inequality and racial injustice and all of these things, like our intuition is also telling us that like if a little piece of the collective over there is harmed, like it harms everything, like everything is then out of whack. Just because you are not personally feeling the effects of it doesn't mean that it's not still affecting you. And I think sometimes like that ignorance to our own connections to each other, that's the shit. That's like white supremacy working perfectly. That like the disconnect from who we are as people, all like, you know, trying to try like figure out how to all thrive equally at the same in ways that are important to each of us. Let's not say equally. Let's just say like all thrive, period. Anyways, I just find that like intuition for so long, and you said this before, like intuition's been framed as like me, I feel, and I don't think that's actually true for me. I don't think it is at all, actually. The more I think about my role in the collective, it comes back to me and I know my place in it, but it's not just like it stops there. It's like a fucking infinity, you know? It's like a figure eight continuously going and moving.
Yeah, and to me, I mean, that is the biggest blessing of intuition. Like, we could go into, you know, this time or that time that, like, our intuition led us in the right direction. But to me, the bigger point is that there is nothing more healing than feeling our connection to others and to everything in creation. You know, like, there is nothing more calming and grounding to me than feeling that infinity sign.
Yeah.
And like, you know, and like being in that and being open to that.
I wonder if that scares people though. I wonder if the grandness of it all, you know what I mean? Like for some folks, having something that they can just pin down that feels, I don't know. Like for me, I feel that connection to be grounding and humbling. It doesn't, It roots me. Makes me feel like there's a place for me, even as small as I am. You know what I mean? But I think for other people, they still feel, because when we're operating in like a scarcity mindset or like in this idea that like caring about the collective puts me out, if that's the thing that guides us and that's our firm belief because of the way that we're taught and raised in our cultures and societies, especially within white supremacy, I could see how that's disruptive for people. And it's like, fuck, I don't want, I want to push that away. That feels scary to have to, like, you know, invest or care about others.
Well, and to me, it's like that goes back to the difference between intuition and anxiety. Hmm. That, like,
yeah,
if feeling that connection is terrifying to you in a bad way and, like, you want to push it away, it's like that's, there's something else there. To me, that's not just the connection that you're feeling and being open to the energies. That's something else that's gotten in the way.
Ooh, smart. That's very, okay. I like that a lot. Thank you.
Yeah. Do you have any little practices or anything that you do, like something that's like accessible on, you know, a day-to-day basis that makes you feel connected to your intuition?
Breath work more than anything, I would say, especially when I'm trying to, you know, it's funny as you're just talking about separating intuition from anxiety. I think about how every day when I sit at my computer to start working, I'll have all these feelings of worry that I won't be able to like accomplish the things and do this and like say this and how am I going to figure that out? And I always try to remind myself to like breathe all of that out so that I can connect to something like that's deeper than just those worries and anxieties. Like there's something so much more that I know exists. Mm-hmm. So I literally have to go. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, okay, so like starting from this place of like groundedness, like having acknowledged those worries, having like pushed them out on like Sherry, my therapist will always talk about like putting certain other topics and like putting them on boats and like pushing them out into the water. And like they're in a bay, they're going to still be there, but like push them away so that you can think about other things and like come to this place where you're able to work on this one thing specifically. And the one thing specifically in the conversation of like pushing those anxieties away is like, what is also true? I'm anxious, but also, and the, but also piece is how I try to connect to my intuition on like a day-to-day basis, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't really find that I'm good at just being like, you know, people be like, don't worry about that. I'm like, bitch, I will. Thanks. Mm-hmm. Like I continue to worry, but if I'm able to hold on to some of the but alsos, I think it just contextualizes my anxieties and the things that are feel like they're consuming me in a bigger picture of like, okay, but there's like more to my story today than like all the things that are worrying me. And also, are all the things that are worrying me, this is just about like work, are they like real? Are they true? Are they 100% going to come true? It's like, huh, no. But also, I am capable of figuring things out when I like, I have the tools inside of me to figure these things out. I know that. Mm-hmm. That's a deep knowing of like who I am and my worth and the things that I am capable of doing in work and outside of work. I'm more than what I'm doing for my job.
Mm-hmm.
That's a true. And but also, right? So anyways, that's me. It's like breath work and then trying to push those worries on a boat away.
Yeah. So it sounds like for you, it's like anxiety management tools that help you to like be more in touch with the deep knowing. Because you've like quieted the anxiety a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about for you?
Yeah, there's like some really simple things because, you know, the intuitive knowing in a lot of cases, it's so much faster than our cognitive minds, but we're so used to just listening to our cognitive minds. So it's, you know, trying to be present enough to catch those first flashes and then like listen to them when I can. So like a simple example for me is when I'm going to make tea. Often when I have the idea to make tea, like a flash of a specific type comes in that. But then I had a tendency to just get in my head and be like, okay, what type should I have? Like maybe, right. You know, and like think through it like logically.
Right.
And I've started trying to just go with whatever flashed through my mind when I first thought of it, because I feel like that's, you know, I'm like making my intuition feel listened to, or it's like maybe strengthening the connection so I'll be able to hear it in like more complicated situations.
That's so interesting. I really like that.
Yeah. And then Yaya Louisa Teesh, she had a couple of really beautiful suggestions, and one is learning to be in tune with the energies around you. So, you know, moon cycles are a good way, seasons, you know, not trying to like live the same way either energetically in terms of work, in terms of music, like anything, not trying to live the same way in the middle of winter versus the middle of summer, you know, just listening to the environment around you. And I feel like the more in tune you are with that, with, you know, the earth and with the cycles that are happening in nature around you, you'll be able to pick up more intuitive information. You know, the same way it's harder to hear what someone else is saying if you're like shouting over them,
right?
Right? It's like, yeah, we're shouting over nature and the earth and, you know, the people around us so often that it's like we're missing so much.
Ooh, that's a really good one. And the one that you said about the tea, I was going to say, I watched this video somewhere and this woman was talking about how, like, when we're cooking, a lot of us come from people who have historically cooked with a bunch of different kinds of spices and herbs. And so she was talking about how, like, when you're going to cook something, like, recipes are fun and great, but like, if your body is like, I need turmeric, like if you know more about like spices and herbs of like your people, it's nice to incorporate those and kind of follow what your body is telling you in terms of like how much you need and how little you need and if you need extra or whatever, which I found really interesting. I'm like, in the same way that for me, when I'm like, when I'm having my period, I'm like, I'm craving like red meat. Like, I know that my body is low on iron. I'm like, I need that to make myself to feel good. And it's in that same vein of like making sure that we're honoring sort of our like body's intuition when it comes to like how we're nourishing ourselves and maybe trying to incorporate some of the things that our ancestors used to use, like smelling those herbs, like seeing what might come alive as we're smelling those herbs and putting them into our food.
I love that. Yeah, absolutely. And then the last thing that I'll share from Yayatish is incorporating rituals. And we could probably do a whole episode on ritual, but anything that you do with intention and with presence can be a ritual. And so she's talking about even, you know, if you drive to work every day, like when you get into your car, take a second and ground and center and feel your body and give thanks for, you know, the car and the everything around you and bless the others around you, and then be conscious as you start to move, you know? So it's like anything that we're doing on a day-to-day basis, if we bring that presence and that gratitude, and not in, you know, a toxic positivity way, we don't always have to be thankful, but I think for me at least, when I am that present, I don't have to be thankful for everything, but I can always find things that I am thankful for.